How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure.
As I came across that video, if you don't know, it was in the 92 Olympics, a guy called Derek Redmond. He pulled up, it's his big moment, injured as you saw, and the guy that comes on, I hope you've guessed it, who that was. That was his dad, yeah. What a great dad. Not only was he present at that event to cheer his son on, he was also able to help carry him and help him over the finish line. And there's just a moment in that where God really profoundly reveals something about who he is and his nature and what he does with us, isn't there? That moment when he puts his arms around the son. But the son's almost rejecting him, isn't he? He's saying, you know, no, dad, no, I don't need this. I'm going to do it on my own. You can see it in his face, isn't it? And then that moment of realization, isn't it, in his face, as he realizes he's not going to do this on his own. And he grabs his father and he hugs him deep. And his father is really then carrying him over the line. What an incredible picture of our heavenly Father God and what he does, isn't it? And we're just going to think together over those few verses about the amazing love of the Father, of our heavenly Father. That's a great illustration, isn't it, of someone been deep in trouble, broken and struggling. And the applications are vast, aren't they? But, you know, that was like God, isn't it? He was in the stands right at the beginning of time looking over humanity when everything was perfect. And we were running the race. Were we running. We were like Olympic athletes in the race of life, weren't we? And yet we sinned and we failed. And we became broken, we became miserable, and no longer able to finish the race that God had set, which was the life with him. That intimacy, that joy in running with God himself, and that to look forward to the heavenly life above. So what does God do? Does he stay in the stands cheering and waving? No. He came right into humanity, didn't he? And walked alongside us and carried us on in our life's journey. And if there's anybody in here who thinks, I'm just running my own race. If you know Jesus, no, you're not. You've got your arms around him and he's got his arms around you and he's carrying you towards the end so that you might finish. Without him, you're not going to do it. And what an amazing thing, isn't it? You know, when he came and he died upon the cross for us, bled, suffered, to make sure that we would know him and that all of us would finish that race with him. What a beautiful picture that is of who God the Father is. Oh, what's that noise? Oh. It's Alwyn. He's trying to tell me something. Oh, Alwyn. Sorry, did I forget all about you, little dude? Right, okay. Right, come here then. Yeah, he's not very happy in here, is he? He's rattling about, isn't he? Is this why you guys came to the front? You thought, Alwyn, could you hear him talking? Yeah. Ah. What's up with me? I know I said no preaching, but you know, Alwyn, I couldn't help it. It was just such a great story. I got really excited and I lost the plot for a minute because it is great, isn't it, that God is our heavenly Father, isn't it? Yeah, it is great, yeah. But you promised this was going to be an all-age talk, not a 50-minute sermon. Right, okay, so I've got to stop preaching. Is that what you're saying? No, I've not got to stop preaching, but get on with it. Do you know what? I think I might have to take his collar off him, isn't it? You know, he should be pleased to hear it. You said the kids are not going to understand it. Of course they're going to. You guys understood that, didn't you? Look. Told you. Well, all it is that God is like a father, he's like a dad. Do we all get that?
Yes.
Do we all get that?
Yes.
And he loves us so much.
Yes.
Do we all get that?
Yes.
Mostly. And he came into our world and into our lives to help us, to save us, so that we would get across the finishing line of our life's race. Is that easy? So what are you going on about then? Oh, you've shut up. Right, okay, yeah. Right, back in there you go then. Actually, you can listen though. Right, well, we're going to be thinking about that Bible passage together, just three very short verses this morning. And could you change the slide? I haven't got the thing up here. So the first part of that verse, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." Now, when you see the word behold in the Bible, it's a really good word, because what it says, dude, look. That's what it says. You understand that? Dude,
yeah.
Look. He says, dude, look, this is going to be good. Wow.
Wow.
It's like watching a premiere of a film that you're really looking forward to seeing. It's, what does the premiere say? Not the premiere, sorry, the trailer. It says, look, this is going to be good. You've got to come and see the whole thing. And when we see that word, behold, that's what it simply means. For the adults, it's pay attention. Don't go to sleep. Look, there's something amazing that God is about to tell you. Okay? What a word that is. I like that. Dude, look. I think that's a better way of looking at it. To do a translation of it. So it says, we've got to pay attention. That's all you, everybody, no sleeping. Because what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Now we hear the word love all of the time, don't we? We use it everywhere we go, don't you? And in our language, it's a word that means a lot of things, isn't it? But we only have one word for it, which is love, okay? We use the same word for, I love my food as much as I love my wife. Does that make any sense? Uh-oh. I'm in trouble. Does that make any sense that I love my food as much as I love my wife? Now, you guys know I love my food. Which means, that was a compliment, darling. Digging out of that one very fast. Or we can say, I love my friends. Or, I love my family. Or we could say, I so love my school. Oh, I think I've upset a few here. Or this book. Or this film. But they mean very, very different things. Now, in the Bible has some different ways, different actual words in its original language for love. So there's no confusion like I've just done food and wife. Never get those two mixed up. Right, so I need a couple of volunteers. So let's go for one, two, three. And I need one more. Do you want to come up and hold this for me? Right, okay, so what's your Greek like? Is it pretty good? Yeah, so we're going to look at what the manner of love is. Okay, so you can have that one. You can hold that one. You can have that one. You can have that one. And you can have that one. Okay. Right. I'll help you, don't worry. Right, so this one. One of the Bible names for love is actually called philo. Can you say that?
Philo.
That's it. Brilliant. He can give him a clap. Thank you. I know how scary it is stood here. Trust me. It's very scary, isn't it? Looking at all these people. So the Bible has a word called philo, and that is, can you say what those are? It says friendship and affectionate love, okay? So philo, it uses a word, just so you don't get mixed up between the two. Philo is for friendship love. So that's I love my friends, okay? There we go. Okay, mercy, what have you got? Can you, it's pronounced
Storge.
That's the one. Have you ever heard of a love like that?
No.
No. Now, can you read what it says? What kind of love is this?
Family,
brotherly
or dog.
So Storge love is where we love our family or our brothers and our sisters, our mums and our dads, our cousins, our uncles and our aunties. And also I found it's when we love our
dog.
Yeah, well, I always thought, actually, some people love their dog more than their family. I don't know about your house, but the pecking order of my house is Jane's at the top, she's the boss. Then we have my boys, then we have my grandchild, then we have a dog, then we have a cat, and then we have anything else, and right down at the bottom of the pile is me. I know. The dog is more important. But at least I'm loved. Right, okay. The next one, kind of love, is?
Eros.
Eros. Eros. Now, they've all heard of that one. They have. Because it normally is a love heart with a little arrow going through, going. It's that kind of love, all right? And what does it say, Ra?
Passionate, but focus on itself.
It's passionate, but it focuses on itself. And that's very true. Even though you might be, it's when you're in love. Real. When you've seen somebody, then you can't stop thinking about them. You want to be with them all the time. You want to go on them. You want to text them and ask them out for a date, but you don't. And all that kind of stuff, that is Eros love. But it is usually focused on the self. And the last one, this is a hard one, isn't it? Can you pronounce that?
Agape.
Agape. That is brilliant. Well done. Fantastic. Or I'll do a Greek, okay? Agape. Was that good Greek? Agape. Can you do that one? You're looking at me going, dude, go away now. And what kind of love is that?
Love's when it's not returned. Self is unconditional.
Sacrificial
for others.
Well done. So, let's ask you a question now then. So that Bible verse says, behold, which is, look, dude, I'm about to tell you something really good. What manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us? Which one of these loves is it talking about, do you think? Is it the philo, the friendship? Is it the storge, the family and the dog and the pets? Is it Eros, the passion, but focuses on self? Or is it the agape that is loves when it's not even returned? Selfless, unconditional, sacrificial for others. Which one do we think it is? All of them. You need to look up the Greek in your New Testament. Number 4. It's the agape love. That's the manner of the Father's love. Thank you very much, guys. You can go and sit down. I'm going to need you again in a bit. Brilliant. Thank you. So what manner of love it is, the agape love. And that's the kind of love that God has for us, isn't it? As our Heavenly Father. It's an incredible love. It's the most amazing love. Why is that? Because most of us will love when we receive love, won't we? When somebody loves us, it's very easy to love back to somebody else. But that's not what God's love is like, is it? God's love. It's selfless. It doesn't demand something in return. In John it says, you know, we love God because he loved us first. Not because there was anything about us that was good enough to love. The Bible actually goes on a lot further. It says that we were enemies. Once we were separated from him, we were actually enemies of God, far away from him, and yet he still loved us. Wow. I mean, let's be really honest. We'll just do a poll here. Who could love their enemy in here? Anybody? Honestly? We've got one at the back. We've got a couple. Okay, I admire you. I think you're wonderful. You're a far better human being than the rest of us. Because loving enemies is difficult, but for God, who has a selfless love, a sacrificial love, that the object of the love focuses on others, not on itself. That is amazing kind of love. But I want to ask you something else. You can love your enemies, but would you then invite them to be part of your family? Would you adopt one and bring them into your house? Here's somebody who was an enemy once upon a time. Would you bring that person in? No, I very much doubt it. But that's what God has done, hasn't he? We were once far away. We were once enemies, far from God. And yet he's loved us with that love to include us into his family. It goes on to say, doesn't it? He's made us a child of him. Wow! I'm excited about that. That I was an enemy and now I'm a child of God in his family. No wonder he said, behold, dude, look. This is something that many of us spend a lifetime trying to grapple with, of what it actually means. And it says that this love has been bestowed upon us. Now that's a really old word. And what does it mean? It means that God has given it. Okay? Now, but it's a bit of a more of a harder word to understand than that, because there's two parts to it. It says, the first part of it says that God has given us, and it's a measure. Now, I've got some presents here for the guys, okay? No, you can't eat them, okay? But if I was to come to Babu here, okay, these are chocolates. You like chocolates? So if I was to say, oh, Babu, you're all right. Here, have one of them. Have I given any kind of measure there?
No.
I mean, bearing in mind, look what I've got. Oh, I've got all the chocolate. As a matter of fact, oh, I'm feeling a bit tight today. But that's not the kind of measure that God wants us to know his love is given. What God says is that measure is like he lavishes it on us. In other words, he gives us so much love, more than you could possibly know what to do with. It's like me saying, Babu, you're just the most amazing man. And I want to just give you all of these chocolates. Would you accept it?
Yeah, I would.
I would give you them gladly, but then there'd be a lot of unhappy men in here because they wouldn't get one. But that's part of what it means to bestow on somebody. Give them more than just the very, very basics or just what anything will do. The other part of that word, it's how it is given. Now, I want you to imagine, has anybody ever seen the Queen when she puts a medal on somebody? Yeah? And she pins it on them or she knights them or something. It's given to give honour to that person, isn't it? For what they've done. But here's the amazing thing about God's love. We've done nothing. Brilliant. Nothing to warrant what he does. And do you know what he does? He goes, I'm giving you my love because I'm going to give you so much of it. You just want the chocolate, don't you? So much of it, and I'm going to honor you in giving it you because you really, really matter. That's what bestowed means. And that's the Father's love. Wow! What amazing love is that? And guess what? We get to call Dad our Abba, God, our Abba Father. Do you guys know what Abba means?
No.
I don't say knowing me, knowing you, or dancing queen, or any of those other things. It means, come on guys, shout it out, help them out. Dad.
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 We get to call God, who created the universe, Dad. Can you see that picture of that runner now? That's Dad, who hugs us, who loves us, who walks with us all of the days that we're alive. And we can call him our Dad. What, give them sweets or? Oh, well, they had something nice too. But imagine being in the playground, isn't it? Who's ever done this, isn't it? When I was a kid, we used to have playground wars. I don't suppose you're allowed to do it now, are you? They all used to gang up in two corners. And then they'd come into the middle and then somebody would start a little bit of a fight. I know you shouldn't do this at school. And then somebody says, right, I'm going to get my dad. And then somebody else would say, well, I'm going to get my dad, and my dad's bigger than your dad. And then somebody else would pipe up, yeah, but my dad, he's a wrestler. And then somebody else would, my dad's the president of America. No, he's not. But you can say, my dad, he's the king of the universe. They don't come any bigger than that, do they? No, they don't. What a joy and what a privilege to be known as a child of God. Next, let's move it on. So, a little bit of a challenge for you now. What I want you to do, if you've not seen this, is I want you to look at the nose, where the nose is for the four dots, and look for 30 seconds. Yeah, you've got to concentrate on it. It's in the middle, roughly in the middle, like four little dots, if you look at it. Yeah. So you've had about 15 seconds. Got to concentrate. Try not to blink. Right, okay, so in a second, keep looking, but when I tell you, what I want you to do is to either look at a wall or look up into the air, blink twice, and then see what you see, okay? You ready? So look up and blink twice.
Oh my God.
Anybody see anything?
Yeah.
What did you see? You saw Jesus. You can see him as well. So suddenly we can all see him. Right, fantastic. Next part of the slide then. You can look at that again later. Well, just we're going to finish off this little bit of the Bible. It says, now listen, it says, beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. We know that we're going to be with him. Our lives have been changed. Eventually we're going to be in heaven, new body and all those other things. And it's going to be amazing. But listen to this, what it says. It says, but we know when he is revealed, as in, that's what you just saw there, isn't it? Just a little bit of an illusion. We shall be what? We shall be like Jesus. Now that, some people are like thinking, I don't want to be like Jesus. And what it is you've not understood it. Because a lot of people think that to be like Jesus means that we're all going to have a beard, we're all going to wear some kind of robe, and we're all going to wear sandals, and we're all going to look like him. And that's not the case at all. You will still be you when you see Jesus. But what you will be like him, Jesus was the perfect man. He was perfect in his character. There was no sin. There was no ugliness. There was no violence. There was nothing about him that was impure. And that's what it means. When he is revealed, we will be perfect. We will still be ourselves, but we will be like him in our character. For we shall see him as he is. That is amazing, isn't it? And you know, there's a truth in this as well that, you know, do we just see Jesus when we get to heaven?
No.
No, we don't. And I'm not talking about the illusion. You all can know Jesus Christ. You can know him right now in your life. You might not see him physically stood before you like I am, but you can know him deep within your person as a real living person. And this is for the adults as well. As you get to know Jesus, you will become like him. And as you get to know him more, you will become more like him. It's a simple equation, isn't it, of maths. The more he is revealed in our lives, the more we will be like him. The more we will reflect like a mirror Jesus, that perfect man, although we'll never be perfect till heaven, to others. The more you will know him deep within the very heart, in your soul, if you like. And that is the most amazing thing. That's where we find the Father's love. When we see Jesus. Now I want to grow into the likeness of Jesus, and a child, do they ever have anything about their parents in them? I always used to think, I look nothing like my parents, and if I ever become like them, oh, I'm going to have a facelift, I'm going to run away. I'm nothing like my parents at all. Are you like your parents? No. Who are you most like? Are you like your dad or are you like your mum? You're more like your dad. Who are you most like, your dad or mum? So we'll go for temperament first.
No, I'm you, mummy.
Okay, Gillian, you've got a lot to live up to now, haven't you? Who are you most like, Raph? Dad or mum? Or a bit of both of them? You're going to be like somebody. A bit of both. Nima, who do you think you're most like? More like dad. My dad told me, before I got married, he gave me a bit of advice. He says, look at the mother-in-law. He says, because that's what you're getting in about 30 years' time. My mother-in-law was delightful. She was beautiful. But I had a bit of a shock because you think you're not growing in the likeness of your family. And sometimes as God's people, as Christians, you can think, well, I'm not growing very much in that likeness of Jesus. But actually, you are more than you think. And I had a bit of a rude awakening a few months ago. I think that was a couple of years ago. And next slide, please. We as a family, it was my son, he was off to uni. So we took a photograph, somebody took a photograph of us together. And Jane's into photography and she's quite... trying to be quite clever, so she made this photo black and white, and she put it in the family thing, and I'd forgotten all about it, probably until about a year ago, and I was just looking at this thing, and I turned around to Jane, and I said, I remember, what's my dad doing in that photo? Genuinely said it, I thought that was my dad, and then the moment of horror dropped, that actually, I'm like my dad! I mean, it is black and white, so it does not do me justice. You know, the 40-year age gap. However, my dad is quite suave, so I'll go with that. Quite humorous, I'll go with that. And, you know, quite brainy, so we'll stick with that. But yeah, I look like a granddad. Yeah, well, that's because I am. But when you're a child of God... what does Jesus want for you? He wants you to grow in his likeness as you get to know him. The more you get to know Jesus, the more likeness you will have of him. And the more people will look at you and go, there's something about that person. They reflect Jesus Christ. Do you know, just next slide, thank you. And, I just want to finish with this one verse. Paul actually, he prayed this prayer, and I think it's something to pray over us as a church family, over yourselves, over the children, your children. And Paul prayed. He prayed that you will know how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ for you. Because that is the Father's love.